So for Parshas Shlach, the Parsha ends, so we're starting sort of backwards, with the mitzvah of tzitzis. So today I want to study with you a maimar here, an essay in Shvilei Pinchas on the subject of tzitzis. The Pasuk says at the end of the Parsha, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, V'amart aleihem, you'll be familiar with this because we recite it twice a day. So the Torah requires that we put tzitzios on the four corners of our garments. And not only that, the Torah says that we should add to the kanaf, to the corner, in each case of the four, a psil tchelos, one thread of tchelos. And that's what the Rambam codifies at the beginning of Hilchas Tzitzis, and he writes, V'yia echad mishmona chutim. We have four chutim which we fold over, so that makes it eight. And he says that one of the eight should be tchelis. Vashiva, and the other seven, levonim, are made of white, non-dyed wool. So it turns out that, according to the Rambam Shita, you would have four chutim, one of which is half tchelis and half levon. So that when you look at your tzitzis, according to the Rambam, what you would see on your tzitzis is that 7 out of 8 of the tzitzis are white, and only one would be blue, would be tcheles. I think those who wear tcheles, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, are machmer for the Ravid sheet against the Rambam, that 1 out of the 4 chitim, of course, 4 chutim should be tcheles. So that means that 3, you have tcheles, so you'll probably have 2 out of the 8 will be blue. Am I right? But the Rama would have only 1 out of 8 because 1 of the 4 chutim would be half blue and half white.
And I wouldn't allow the Rama to be a yeshiva.
Okay. So the discussion that we want to embark on, and hopefully Rabbi Ose in the back, you have copies of it. Good, great. Is that tcheles? The Mishnah establishes in Masechta Menachos that if you don't have tcheles, then you can be yotze in the midst of tzitzis, even without tcheles. And all you need is lovan, you need the white strings. And therefore, in our time, again, unless you maintain that we do have tcheles, but let's assume we don't have tcheles for the time being, so then you can be mekayim the mitzvah with 8 chutim, which means 4 folded up into 2, of lovan. And here he presents an unbelievable insight, a chiddush of the Arizal. As we've said many times, the Arizal lived 5 centuries ago in the city of Tzfat, and he had an uncanny insight into things that go beyond the surface level. And he writes that when the Torah commands us, v'ra'isem oso, that you have to see it, uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem v'asisem osam. And by looking at the tzitzis, you have to remind yourself of all the 613 mitzvahs. Says the Ari, one has to look at his tzitzis, even today, as if he had tcheles, for those who don't have tcheles, and have in mind that he remembers all the mitzvahs of Hashem. Let's read the language of the Arizal. This is the third paragraph on the right side. Towards the end of the paragraph, he writes, Behagiacha al haposuk, when you reach the posuk as you're reciting Kriyat Shema, ureisem oso. By the way, oso is in what? The plural or the singular?
Singular.
Because what's it referring to? The previous posuk tells you have to put one string of tchelas. So the word oso, which follows with uschartem, is a reference to that chut of tchelas. Comes along the Arizal, and he says, when we get to that posuk, we should take a look at the tzitzis. V'tzorach lechavin, he should have the intention when he looks at his tzitzis, ki'ilu yesham tcheles v'tzitzis. Again, the Arizal did not wear tcheles, but yet he requires us to look at the tzitzis and imagine as if we had tcheles in the tzitzis. V'tistakil, and he should look at it, kishetomar, and he should say ureisem oso, and he should have in mind all the mitzvahs of Hashem. So it's interesting. There are two parts to the mitzvah of tcheles. One part is to wear the tcheles. That's a physical, material reality. The other part is to remind oneself of the 613 mitzvahs and commit oneself to fulfill them. And I'll be with you in just a second. counseling the Arizal, he says these two parts, these two dimensions of Tcheles, are not interdependent, but rather are independent. That means that I have one mitzvah of wearing the Tcheles, I have another mitzvah, which is independent of wearing the Tcheles, of remembering the mitzvahs of Hashem. And the Arizal insists that the difference is that even if I don't have Tcheles, I still can fulfill one dimension of Tcheles, namely, Ure'isem osos chartem es kol mitzvah Hashem. Yeah.
How is Arizal deals with the time bound mitzvah for differentiating the Tcheles from the Lavan? When you can say Kiryat Shema, it's when you can differentiate between Tchelet and Lavan on your tzitzit.
So that would apply today as it did at the time that you have Tchelet, right? In that sense, we're looking at Tchelet as a color, a shade, and are you able to see the difference if daybreak, this is the Alos HaShachar, and you can see the difference between the hue of the blue color of Tchelet, or whatever color it is, it's a little bit more blackish than bluish. And the difference between that and Lavan. So if you have enough light out, then that's the time for the mitzvah of tzitzis. But the Arizal is telling you, and he's talking to, well, I don't know, maybe you have tcheles, so it's not such a big chiddush. You have tcheles on your tzitzis? No. So he's talking to you, and to me, because I don't have tcheles either, and he's saying to us that we should look at our tzitzis twice a day and imagine that there was tcheles there. And although we can't fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles from the dimension of tcheles mamish, because we don't have tcheles mamish, but we can fulfill the other dimension of tcheles of a re'isim oso schartem, and we're required to imagine when we look at our tzitzis as if there were tcheles there. Now, if you do have tcheles, like you have tcheles, so then look at your tcheles and then fulfill the mitzvah of schartem oso. Jeremy?
I've got a quick question. Does that mean then when you say the Shema at night,
so that might depend upon a machlokas whether or not Lila's man sits. But even if we hold Lila loves man sits, a beged yom, according to many Rishonim, is chayim and sits. Like, for example, when I was a youngster, I used to take off my tzitzis at night. I would go out to the gym and play basketball, or football, whatever it was, and we'd take off our tzitzis. So it never bothered me because there's no tzitzis at night. Till my father pointed out to me that there is tzitzis at night. Even if there's no tzitzis at night, that's only as far as a beged, a garment that's designated for nightwear. So, for example, we call them, where I come from, we call them pajamas. Is that, you call them also pajamas? Great. So, pajamas are not chayav in tzitzis. So, let's say you had four-cornered pajamas. We paskin, Lila loves man tzitzis, you're not chayav in tzitzis. So, I wouldn't encourage you to put tzitzis on pajamas. And by the way, some pajamas are four-cornered. The top part of the pajama, right? No tzitzis. I mean, it's totally, totally unnecessary. But if you have, like I have, a beged, which I wear at night as well, I don't take it off with shkia sachah, I continue wearing it, then because it's a beged yom that's designated for day wear, it's obligated in tzitzis even at night. So I would say in that context, it could very well be that according to Arizal, this requirement, this obligation of uzchartem osa as mitzvah Hashem, when you look at the tcheles, would apply not only by day, but even at night. But even if I want to limit the chiddush of the Arizal to tzitzis by day, it's going to have a tremendous impact on what I see and what I think about by day when I recite Kriyat Shema. I never would have entertained the possibility that when I look at my tzitzis, I should be thinking of tcheles. I don't have tcheles, so it's irrelevant. No, it's relevant because the Arizal says ki'ilu yeshlo tcheles, ki'ilu sheyesham tcheles. See, we should underline those words ki'ilu sheyesham tcheles. It's an amazing chiddush of the Ari. Now he wants to suggest the following: what is this whole concept of looking at the tcheles and imagining that there is tcheles? I remind myself of the 613. Like, how does that work? So to explain this, we quote a Gemara of Rabbi Meir. This is Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Gimel. Very famous Gemara. The Gemara wants to know, and it's a very atypical Gemara, because usually we're not Doresh time of the crow. We don't try to entertain or investigate why God gave us a certain mitzvah. That's rare in the Gemara. Occasionally you'll see it. But in 99 out of 100 cases, the Torah says you have to do it, We do it, we don't know why. I have no clue why the Torah said shatnez. I have no clue why the Torah prohibited me from eating non-kosher meats, and so forth and so on, and goes on and on and on. But here in the case of Tcheles, Rabbi Meir had the audacity, if I can use that word, he had the gumption to ask the question, what is Tcheles? What's it all about? What does God want from me when he tells me to put on Tcheles? And he says the following, Tcheles doma liyam, the color of Tcheles is similar to that of the sea, yam doma lirakia, which is a similar color to the skies, Virakia, and here I want you to underline the next two words, Lekise HaKovod, because everything we're going to be discussing today is about this phrase called Lekise HaKovod, the holy, the kingly throne of God. Shenemar, and he even quotes a pasuk, which is in the parsha of the man, and there the Torah says, at the end of Mishpatim, it says, V'tachas raglov kemaisa livnas asapir ke'etzem ha'shamayim l'tohar. Now, Raglov here is referring, again, this is a kind of anthropomorphism, but referring to the feet of God, so to speak, the feet of God that are attached up in Shamayim to Livnas HaSapir, which is a kind of Kise HaKavod, or maybe it's the footstool of the Kise HaKavod. And this is a description of the throne of God, and it's up in Shamayim. Yechezkel HaNovi says, in a pasuk, he says, "Me'al rakia sheral roshem." If you're talking about the rakia that's above our heads, "Kimare even sapir dmus kise," that even sapir, which is described by the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, is a dmus kise. It has the image of a throne, and Rashi says, "Mikoach hatcheles." By looking at the Tcheles, Mazkir, what he reminds himself of, is Yoshev Alakise, is he with a capital H who sits on the throne. So everything in Tcheles, according to Rabbi, is geared towards one ultimate goal. And what's that? The Kise HaKovod. Do you hear that, Rabbi Osai? Again, we're going to go through three steps. It's a whole Chagad here. You know, from the Tcheles, we're going to get to the sea, and from the sea, we're going to get to the heavens. Yeah. But ultimately, what we really want to get to—that's the target—is the Kise HaKovod. Okay, so that's what we're going to have to see. What is Uschartem is called Mitzvah Hashem have to do with the Kise HaKovod? Why is the Kise HaKovod? Let's say I live till 120 and I don't know beans about the throne of God. I never heard of it. I don't know about it. I know that 613 mitzvahs. You can test me on all 613. I'm a great scholar, but I know nothing about the Kise HaKovod. So Rabbi Meir says you're missing a very important piece of the puzzle. There's a stepping stone to remembering the 613 mitzvahs. What's going to project you to 613 mitzvahs? It's the linkage, it's the awareness of the Kise HaKovod. And right now, I have to tell you the truth, if I would stop here, I would be very, very much in the dark. I would not know what this is all about. Hopefully, by the time we finish, we'll have a clue what is going on over here. Why does Rabbi Meir plug me in through the Tcheles to the Kise HaKovod? What's that all about? Okay. He says the following. This is in the middle section of page 1. That now that we have Rabbi Meir, we could perhaps begin to understand the Arizal. The Arizal says, whether we have the Tcheles physically, or we don't have the Tcheles, but we have to imagine it as if there's the Tcheles, and mentally, we have to link up with the Kise HaKovod. The ultimate purpose of the Tcheles is to link us up to what? To the Kise HaKovod. Now that's easy if you look at the Tcheles, because you have the physical Tcheles in front of you. And it's a cinch, you know. All the minds of the sea of the heavens, and then the Kise HaKovod. But if you don't have the Tcheles, it's a little bit more of a challenge. Because you don't have that, says the Ari, you're still not exempt. You're still required and obligated to look at the tzitzis as if there were Tcheles there and remind yourself of the Kise HaKovod. So you see that Rabbi Meir puts a tremendous emphasis. He calls it in the second paragraph, if you want to underline that, To'eles Gidola, a tremendous benefit and significance to remind yourself of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives the Torah, but to remind yourself of the Kise HaKovod. And you know that David HaMelech is famous for many passages in Tehillim, but perhaps one of the most famous of them all is Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid. that I always be aware of God. And what does it mean to be aware of God? In this context, it means to be aware, according to a mayor, of the Kisei HaKavod. And what's going to remind me of the Kisei HaKavod? Where Hashem, so to speak, sits on. It's the Tcheles of the Tzitzis. If you don't have the Tcheles, the Tzitzis themselves. So we should look at the Tzitzis, imagine this Tcheles, and accomplish the same goal, the same agency that the Tcheles is singled out to perform. And that's the agency of linking us up with an awareness of the Kisei HaKavod. Now at this point, he introduces a chiddush of the Targum. Now, you know we have two Targumim. One is called the regular Targum, classical Targum, that was written by whom? Unkelis. And then we have a more sophisticated, a more challenging Targum that's based on the Sodos, the secrets of the Torah, that's Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. And here we're going to have a chiddush of Yonasan ben Uzziel. Let's go through the pasuk one more time. The pasuk says, "Laman tizkeru, you should remember the mitzvahs of Hashem. Vasisem es kol mitzvosai v'yisem kedoshim leilukechem." Says the Yonasan. He's, by the way, considered like a Tana from the Tanoim. He writes, "V'tehevin kadishin Hashem kimalachim d'mishamshim kodem Hashem alukechem." When the Torah requires us to be sanctified, v'yisem kedoshim, a process we can achieve through the mitzvahs of Hashem, we become sanctified. Says the Yonasan, it's got to be what kind of sanctity? Kimalachim. We have to reach the sanctity of the malachi asharis, of the angels in heaven. Now, when we look at that, we wonder what, you know, where did Yonasan ben Uzziel come from here? The pasuk says v'yisem kedoshim. And he's saying it means we have to be kedoshim like malachim. How does he know such a thing? For example, one of the famous psukim in the Torah, in Parshas Emor, I believe it is, says Parshas Kedoshim. It says kedoshim tiyu. And there, Rabbi Yonasan ben Uzziel doesn't tell us that we have to be kedoshim like malachim. So the Torah commands us in a separate mitzvah, which many of the Monia mitzvahs count in the Taryag, that we have to be holy, sanctify yourself. Here, Targum Yonasan doesn't say a word about Kim Malach, and we have to reach the level of the Malachi Asharis of the angels in him. But when he gets to the Pasuk, in Parashat Shlach, where the Torah tells us that we have to remember all the mitzvahs Hashem, to perform the mitzvahs, when we look at the tzitzis, v'yisam kedoshim, here he requires us to be kedoshim Kim Malachi Asharis. Why is that so? But one thing we have clear, that when we put the pieces of today's puzzle together, we know that number one, according to the Arizal, the Tcheles is something that has to remind us, and even if we don't have the Tcheles, has to remind us. We don't, according to Rabbeinu, what does he have to remind us of? Ultimately, at the end of the day, the Kisei HaKavod. And, you know, who's kind of like aware of the Kisei HaKavod? Which beings, if I can use that term, have a connection to the Kisei HaKavod? In a very real sense, you know, we have this connection that we have to mentally somehow through the Tcheles remind ourselves of the Kisei HaKavod. But which beings in God's creation? The Malachim, right? We're going to see over and over again that the Malachim have a certain perception of the Kisei HaKavod. Now, between the Malachim and us people down here, there's another level in between where there's also a little bit of a perception, a perspective on the Kisei HaKavod. Who am I referring to? Which of us, not us sitting here, unless maybe someone here is, I don't know, but which of us might be one level above
the Tzaddikim?
Even beyond the Tzaddikim. I'm not sure if the Tzaddikim have necessarily a clear perception of the Kisei HaKavod. Well, Moshe represents one of a group, but what group am I talking about?
Nevi'im,
exactly. The Nevi'im, and especially Yechezkel HaNavi amongst the Nevi'im, had a certain capability of having a perception, a little bit of a perception on them, Madrega, of the Kisei HaKavod. So we have the Malachim who are really up there somewhere surrounding the Kisei HaKavod. We have us guys down here, you know, we have to use the Tcheles, and hopefully if we don't have the Tcheles, to remind ourselves mentally of the Kisei HaKavod. And then somewhere in the middle are the Nevi'im on a higher level, and they are a little bit closer to having a perception of the Kisei HaKavod. Now, in the words of Yechezkel, a perception of the Kisei HaKavod, because as I said before, Yechezkel is singled out as a Navi that reaches this level. That's called, if you're familiar with the term, Maisa Merkava. Have you ever heard of it? Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava means that Yechezkel had visions, prophetic visions of things going on in the upper spheres. And basically he dedicates an entire chapter in Sefer Yechezkel to a very esoteric chapter in Tanakh where there are like this, there's a almost like a movement of carrying the Kisei HaKavod, you know, lifting it up. You know, like we lift up a Torah because we have a covenant for the Sefer Torah. We lift up the Kisei HaKavod figuratively. Be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, u'be'zeh, with a tremendous amount of fear and trembling. And one of the Tanoim, have you heard of him? His name was Rabbi Elezer HaKalir. In the literature, he's called HaKalir. Correct. He was the author of, he is the most significant of many Paitanim for Ashkenazi Jews, but the most important of them by far, I mean, it's like a school of relationship, he's like qualitatively different than all the other Paitanim, is Rabbi Elezer HaKalir. He becomes the primary mode for us to experience what day of the year? Anybody know which day I have in mind? Tisha B'Av, exactly. All of Tisha B'Av is, you know, is really a matter of experiencing Rabbi Elezer HaKalir. Again, you and I might have trouble with Rabbi Elezer HaKalir. His piyut is full of secrets of the Torah, and it's very hard if you don't know everything to know anything about his piyut. But the great scholars who study Rabbi Elezer HaKalir, they know how to experience Tisha B'Av. You know, we have nice, you know, we have a whole English thing over here. If you're ever around on Tisha B'Av, we have a nice program here in the ELC, and the members of the Kollel, they'll share with us very meaningful stories and Gemaras and Agadotis, but
very powerful.
Very powerful. Yeah. But ultimately, what the, you know, for the real McCoy, I'm not talking, you know, we're all Bali Tshuva, you know what I'm saying? So we, you know, so we have to have stories about the Holocaust and everything else. But the real McCoy, you know, the originals, if you know what I mean.
McCoy.
The what?
McCohen, not McCoy. McCoy.
Oh, that's what it's called? So they know Rabbi Elezer HaKalir. Rabbi Elezer HaKalir. Again, for you and I, Rabbi Elezer HaKalir is very complicated. The chief rabbi in England about 50 years ago, maybe 100 years ago, published their edition of the Kinos, and they made an attempt at trying to explain Rabbi Elezer HaKalir with footnotes on the bottom. Nice attempt, because any time you attempt to understand Rabbi HaKalir, you deserve a bracha for that. It's very, very complicated. And even today, there are books written on Rabbi Elezer HaKalir. So Rabbi Elezer HaKalir has a famous piyut for Rosh Hashanah, which is called Keter. And that Keter, which is literally the crown of the Almighty, that is an esoteric, mystical piyut about the Kisei HaKavod. So he has a little bit of that here published on your page on the left column. You'll see it in bold print. And again, you're talking about the Maisa Merkava, Rabbi Elezer HaKalir, based on Yechezkel HaNavi, and he even borrows certain words from Yechezkel Perek Yud. He talks about the Chayos HaKodesh, which are different times of Malachim, and somehow they are surrounding the Kisei HaKavod with Chil.
Wasn't in the last week's Haftorah also?
Take a look if you can and see if it's from Yechezkel. I don't remember.
I didn't see anything from
Yechezkel. Yeah, take a look. It should be here. You're talking about Parshas Naso? Because Naso was about a Nazir, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, yesterday, okay.
Zachariah.
That was Zachariah about the menorah in the,
yeah. right.
In the Bais Shem.
Because
Zachariah was between Bais Rish and Bais Shem. So I don't remember Merkavia, but maybe it's there and I missed it. Anyway, so
Shavuot, the Merkava.
Oh, that could be. Yeah. Does anybody know what the word Chil means? Chil, Chet Yud Lam. You'll see it here on the second line in this piyut. See, I don't know how to translate the word chil, because I'm sure in the English translation they'll say fear, but it's not an accurate. Chil is an overwhelming fear. I don't know what word in English would capture the
abhorrence.
Yeah. But again, it's something that we're attracted to, whereas abhorrence is something usually that we're, you know, that we want to stay away from. So we have a certain gravitational awe and chil to the kisei hakavod. And he speaks about different dimensions of the kisei hakavod, mar ishos. We don't know what's coming up. Bezek, again, you talk about the noises and sounds and lights and who knows what comes from the hod hakisei. The hod, you know, hod. You know, in human terms, I was once present in Buckingham Palace at the changing of the guard. So maybe that's the closest thing we can get to hod in the physical universe here, you know. And hod means just the glory of kingship, or maybe the Queen of England, I don't know, hod. Anyway, the divine hod is called the Kisei Rum, Yoshev al Kisei Rum Venisa. You remember that? We say it right before Birchas HaShachar. And he says, Mis Alphos means to faint, mi pachad, from this fear, this overwhelming fear of the Rum, Yoshev al Kisei, of God who's above everything, and takes his place on the throne up in Shamayim. And therefore, says Targum Yonason, which I think is he's integrating Rabbi Meir's statement about how we have to remember the Kisei HaKavod through the tzitzis, and he says that, you know, this is the Kisei HaKavod of the Malach, that only the Malach Asharis are on the level of having some sort of an emotional awareness, an intellectual awareness of the Kisei HaKavod, and we have to reach the level of kedusha, of sanctity. That's what God is expecting of us, of the Malachi Asharei, so that somehow we too could have an awareness of the Kisei HaKavod on our level. And normally, if you talk about an awareness of Kisei HaKavod, God is the Ram, Venisa, Yoshev al Kisei HaKavod, only the Chayos, Ve'ofani HaKodesh, only the Malachi Ashares that figuratively carry the Kisei HaKavod, only they are aware, and they are overwhelmed by the fear, the aim of the year of Kisei HaKavod. But we somehow have to imitate the Malachim, and we have to strive to reach that very high level of an awareness of the Kisei HaKavod, and that's what Rabbi Meir is telling us, that the Tcheles should remind us of the Kisei HaKavod, and the Ari says that even if we don't have Tcheles, we're required to remember the Kisei HaKavod. And that, with Targum Yonasan, means to reach the level of sanctity of that of the Malachi Asharis, who have such a close relationship, they carry the Kisei HaKavod. And all this, to reach that level of aim of the Yira, of being aware of the awe of the Kisei HaKavod, that's all included, according to Targum Yonasan, the Pasuk L'man Tizkeru, that you should remember the mitzvahs of Hashem when you look at the tzitzis, v'yisam kedoshim l'elokeichem, you should be the kedoshim, the kedusha of Malachi Asharis. So imagine having the desire, if a human being recites Kriyat Shema, and he gets to the parash of tzitzis, and he looks at his tchelis, or if he doesn't have tchelis, he looks at his tzitzis and imagines he's looking at the tchelis. And at that point in time, he should have an awareness of the Kisei HaKavod, and have a desire to be like the Malachi Asharis, who are so overwhelmed by the fear and the awe of looking at the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yoshev al Kisei HaKavod. This is what Rabbi Meir wants us to achieve when we look at the Tcheles, and this is what the Targum Yonah says is Viskashtem, that we have to be Vayisam Kedoshim, like that level of sanctity that's unique to the Malachi Asharis. Says the Arizal, all this has to be our awareness when we look at the tzitzis. Now, my Rebbe Zichron of Rach used to always differentiate between two parts of a mitzvah. There's the technical maisa mitzvah, that's the action that I have to implement, and then there's the emotional impact of the mitzvah. And what the Arizal is telling me is that even if we don't have the technical maisa mitzvah of Ur Isamos, of seeing the Tcheles, we still have to have what Rav Salvechik used to call the Kiyum Shemalev, the emotional sense of the mitzvah. What the Re'iyah of Tzitzis is supposed to trigger off is an emotional sense of the awareness of the Kisei HaKavod, the awe and the fear and the, you know, trembling of the Kisei HaKavod, like the Malachi Asharis, who was so close to the Kisei HaKavod. That's what we have to have, is an emotional experience that's triggered off by the mitzvah of Re'isim also, and in the absence of Tcheles, by looking at the tzitzis. Unbelievable. And he says the following. Let's turn now to the other side of page 1. Okay, we're now about to learn a very depressing Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. I don't like to do that usually because I try to stay away from those depressing Gemaras until we get to the 3 weeks and the 9 days of Tisha B'Av. But here we're going to have an earlier experience of tragedy. And this is the tragic death of Yeshayo HaNavi, the great Navi Yeshayo. I think in English you call it Isaiah, right? Is that right? Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Does anybody know who killed Isaiah? You know, he was murdered. Do you know who put him to death? The king of Israel. But that's only half the story. The king of Israel was his grandson. And he murdered his own grandfather. His name was Menashe. He was the son of Chezkiyahu HaMelech. Chezkiyahu was a great tzaddik. He didn't want to have children because he realized that he was ultimately going to father someone who was an evil person like Menashe. And the Gemara tells us a whole story about Menashe and his grandfather. This is his maternal grandfather, his mother's father, who was Yeshaya Novi. And the Gemara tells us that although at the end of his life, Menashe did do tshuva, and Hashem accepted his tshuva. By the way, the Malachi Asharis tried to prevent Hashem from accepting his tshuva. They found him so despicable, Menashe, that how can you accept him for tshuva? But Hashem insisted, if he does sincere tshuva, I'll accept him. But anyway, we're talking about Menashe as a Rasha before he does tshuva. And what happens? Maisa, the story is as follows. Menashe Horeges Yeshayo, he killed his grandfather. Omar Rava, Rava tells us, Midin Danya Vektola, that Menashe, the king of Israel, summoned his grandfather Yeshayo Anovi to a judgment. And it was an entire accusation. Now, when you accuse a prophet of an Avera for which he's going to be judged for death, what Avera usually do you accuse him of? Anybody know?
Yeah.
Not Avodah Zor. Avodah Zor is for any Jew, but in the case of Anovi. Well, that's for any Jew is culpable, is liable for Chilul Hashem. But there's one Avera that's specifically incumbent on a Novi, and he'll be put to death. Exactly. Sheker, Novi Sheker. And Menashe accuses Yeshayo HaNovi of being a Novi Sheker. Unbelievable. And he has a threefold accusation. Number one, you Yeshaya made a statement that Va'era es Hashem, this is in the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu HaNavi, he says, Va'era es Hashem Yoshev al Kisei Ram Venisa. Yeshayahu claims that he has a vision of God sitting on the throne, the divine throne, Ram Venisa. And that's Sheker. Why is that Sheker? Because Moshe Rabbeinu says in the name of God, Lo Yirani Ha'odam V'chai. No one could perceive a vision of God and survive. And you, Yeshayahu, said that you had a vision of God sitting on the throne. Number two, you said in Perek Nunhei, the 55th chapter of Yeshaya, Dirshu Hashem Behi Matz'o, meaning that sometimes God could be found. Look for God when He could be found. And Moshe Rabbeinu says in Dvarim Perek Dalid, Mi Kashem Elokeinu Bechal Kareinu Elav, at any time we could find Him. And the third accusation against Yeshayahu HaNavi is based on the pasuk. Just trying to find this for a second. Oh, yeah, Yeshayahu HaNavi says, and this is quoted in Sefer Melachim Beis, "Vahosafti al yomecha 15 shana." Okay, let's turn to a different piece of history. Chizkiyahu HaMelech did not get married, and Yeshayahu came to tell him he's going to die. And then Chizkiyahu turns away and he says, no, I am going to do tshuva and I'm going to get married. And Yeshayahu tells him that I grant you an extra 15 years to live. Now Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is a pasuk in Mishpatim, Es mispar yomecha amale, that God says, I will fill up the days of your life. Only up to the days that you have to live. There's no way that a person can live beyond the original allotment of time. Every person is allotted a certain amount of time. He can't live a second beyond that period of time. And you, Yeshayahu, said that God allotted X amount of times for Chizkiyahu, that was Menashe's father, and not a minute, and then God added another 15 years beyond. That's Navi Sheker. By the way, if we learn the Sugya Menachos, which we don't have time for now, I'm sorry, the Sugya in Sanhedrin, which we don't have time for now, the Gemara goes into a long discussion about how all these claims were false claims.
Of course.
But who did not defend himself on this trial? Yeshaya himself. The Gemara says, why didn't Yeshaya defend himself? He knew all the svaras and all the answers that the Gemara offered. But the Gemara says, Amar Yeshaya, Yadanabe, I know about this Menashe, Delomakabal might be Amrali. He's not going to accept any of my defense arguments. Ve'i Emole, and if I tell him all the defense arguments, Ashve Mezid, he's going to kill me anyway. But then he'll be guilty of a deliberate crime of murder. Omar, so the Navi had compassion on his grandson, on Menashe, and he decided he's not going to defend himself.
Wow.
Unbelievable, because he doesn't want Menashe to be amazed in Ritzicha, he'd rather him be a shogeg. Because Ki'ilu Menashe in his own mind, again, this is questionable, but the way the Gemara seems to present it, Menashe in his own mind actually justified his murder of Yeshaya, because Yeshaya was an Avi Sheker. Again, we have to go through the sugya with a fine tooth comb, but that's what it looks like at the surface of it. Now, how did Menashe have Yeshaya put to death? So it's very interesting. As soon as Yeshaya realized that Menashe was going to put him to death, he ran away. But he was only able to hide because of what's called the Shem Kadosh. He enunciated the name of God. And what happened is, Ivla Biarza, he was swallowed up by a cedar tree. And the servants of Menashe were able to find this place where Yeshaya was hiding. And the Gemara says, how were they able to find this place? After all, he was swallowed up, so to speak, by a cedar tree. So the Gemara says, get this one, that his four tzitzios were outside the tree. He was inside the tree, but they found his tzitzios. As soon as they saw the tzitzios, they knew exactly where Yeshaya was hiding. And at that moment in time, Menashe sent his slaves, and they told him to cut down the cedar tree, right down the middle. And that's when Yeshaya's blood started dripping out of the cedar tree, and he was killed. And the Gemara tells us, why did Yeshaya get killed? What was his terrible avera? Yeshaya was one of the greatest saints and prophets of all time. I think even the United Nations has Yeshaya Novi on the outside.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
They shall something into plowshares. Right. It says they'll turn their swords into plowshares, you know. Isaiah. So the Gemara says, Mishum di Omar, he said, Gnus, about Klal Yisrael, because Yeshaya in Perek Vav declares, "Ubitoch am tameis vasayim anochi yoshev." And this is very famous. The one who really makes a big deal about this is the Chafetz Chaim in his book on Lashon Hara, and he says that even when you speak the truth, because at that point in time the Jewish people were really guilty of some of the worst sins, nevertheless, to say those words that I'm dwelling amongst an Am's Tame, a contaminated people, to say that about Klal Yisrael, even if it's true, it's still a terrible Lashon Hara. And we learn this from the death of Yeshayahu HaNavi, because he was put to death, the Gemara says, because of that one nevuah, that one statement that he made, that one declaration of Anochi B'toch Am Tame Svasayim Anochi Yoshev. Okay. Now, one of the greatest commentaries that we have on the Agadata is called the Ben Yehoyada. You may be familiar with the fact that Agadata is murder. We have enough trouble trying to figure out the halacha. I'm learning now Masechta Zvachim. Thank God, at least up to page 55. You know, there's no Agadata, so I'm able to survive it. But when you get to the Agadata, my Rebbe Rav Salvechik used to always say that we lost the keys to understand Agadata. But one of the two most important commentators that try to give us a little bit of a glimpse and understand the Agadata is the Marsha, who lived about 5 centuries ago. And my father used to tell me that back in his country, you know, where he came from in his youth, you learned Gemara, Rashi, Tosafot, Marsha.
Which country was that?
He was in Lithuania. It's called Plisa, right near Vilna, which I think the Russians call it Vilnius. Anyway, so my father knew Russian as a child, and back in Russia, the Seder Yeshiva, that's the way they learned, was Tosus without the Rasha. Learning a Tosus without the Rasha would be like learning a Gemara without Rashi. It was totally unacceptable. So I said, Dad, you know, things have changed because I learned by Rav Soloveitchik for 5 years. He never once quoted the Marsha. But anyway, things have changed. And in those days, they used to learn Marsha. The second, perhaps, most important commentary on Agadata is the Ben Yehoyada. He was the chief rabbi in Baghdad about a century ago in Iraq. And he was most famous, known for another work of his called the Ben Ish Chai. Have you ever heard of it?
Sure.
You heard of the Ben Ish Chai. Sfaradim today live by the Ben Ish Chai. And he wrote a commentary on the Agadata, which is called the Ben Yehoyada. And on this Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us the whole story about Yeshayahu HaNavi, he writes the following. He says that why is it that in this divine providential destruction of Yeshaya, this Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure, where Yeshaya spoke against the people of Israel and then he was put to death, why was it that tzitzis, of all things, that God uses in this divine plan to bring about the death of Yeshaya? You with me on the kasha? Yeah. Very difficult question. I wouldn't have had a clue. You know, I could think of many different ways God could have had Yeshaya never killed, but why with the tzitzis hanging out of the tree? So he says the following, that there's a pasuk in Melachim that says, "V'gam dam naki shofach menasha har b'miod al shemilas Yerushalayim pe'lepeh." The pasuk, if you read it literally, translated literally, implies that Yeshayahu HaNavi put to death so many Jews in the city of Yerushalayim that the blood was rolling, flowing from one corner of Yerushalayim to the other. And the Gemara says, "V'chi efshal lebasav dam lemalasus Yerushalayim dam naki pe lepeh." Should we take this literally? Ella, but rather Shaharges Yeshayo, he murdered Yeshayo, Shayashakul Kimosha Rabbeinu, and that's what the pasuk means, Pel Peh, just like Moshe Rabbeinu is called Pel Peh Adabirbo, Yeshayo Anavi is like Moshe Rabbeinu, and by murdering, having Yeshayo Anavi put to death, it's like he killed Pel Peh, it's like he murdered the whole city of Yerushalayim, because Yeshayo Anavi is as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. But why the tzitzis? So he says the following. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. This you'll see at the bottom of the middle column. Yeroel avodecha pol lecha vadarcha al b'neihem. And in this pasuk, there are two key words that we want to isolate. One is vehaderech, and the other one is b'neihem, their sons. And the Ben Yehoyada claims that Vaderech is an allusion, with an A, allusion to Tcheles of Tzitzis. Because the Torah says when we're on the way, we should wear a Tzitzis. And the word B'neihem is a reference to our children. So we have in this Pasuk a combination of two concepts. Number one, the Tcheles of Tzitzis, and number two, B'neihem, our children. Now, our children, throughout Tanakh, is a code word for B'nei Yisrael. Why? Because Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, the Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, that we, the people of Israel, call B'neichem. And the Ben Yehoyada says that this word B'neihem, which is a reference to Klal Yisrael, is directly connected to the Tcheles that appears at the beginning of this Pasuk. And he says the following. If you take the number 8 and add to it the number 5, then you'll get the number Echad. Does anybody want to do that quickly? Let's do that very quickly. Echad. Right, you start with the Ches. Let's start with the middle letter for a second, just to make life easy. That's 8. And you add 5 to 8, right? Aleph and Ches, you get 13. And he says the following.
That's how the
Exactly. we tie 8 strings with 5 knots. So if you, right? So if you have 5 and 8, you arrive at the number 13. Okay? So that's Echad. Now, Echad is a number that could refer either to God or to the people of Israel, because God is called Shashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we are called Goy Echad Ba'aretz, correct? And both are true, by the way. It's not one to the exclusion of the other. Correct, correct, excellent. The Ari makes a big deal about that, but not here. What we want to do is, we want to take the number 4 and multiply 13 by 4. Why? Because on each one of our tzitzis we have what? What number? If you add the 8 to the 5, you have 13. But we have 4 tzitzios on the 4 sides. And therefore, if you multiply 4 by 13, who are the great mathematics here, 50, mathematicians here?
52.
52 is Ben. So now we have a relationship between tzitzis and Ben. Okay, we are called Banim Lashem. We are the Am Goy Echad Ba'aretz. The Echad represents the 5 and the 8 in the tzitzis. So tzitzis now becomes a representation of the people of Israel who are called Ben. We are Banim Lamokom Hashem. And he says that the Ben Yehoyod on the left column, he says, why is it that of all things God chose the tzitzis to be the cause for the death of Yeshayo and the way that Yeshayo was punished? And the answer is because Yeshayo was guilty of speaking about the people of Israel, the Banim of Hashem Elokeich, by calling them Am Tameis Fasayim. The tzitzis symbolically represent the people of Israel. And now the Ben Yehoyada adds an amazing element into the equation. What I'm about to tell you, Rabosai, I think it was worth coming just for what I'm about to tell you. That's what I really think. I get very emotional about this. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara and Kiddushin. It's one of the most fundamental controversies in all of Jewish thought about the following. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeich. Yes, we are called banim. Is that always true? Is that an absolute guarantee? Rabbi Yehuda says no. When are we called banim? When we fulfill the will of God. But if we stray and we deviate from the path, we lose and forfeit our status as banim. And Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir says we are always considered banim. And he quotes 5 psukim all over the place to prove that even when we're shovavim, even when we rebel, chas v'shalom, we go off the path, we're still called banim. And the Rashba, in Tshuvas HaRashba, is very famous. He says that as a general rule, we have it in Shas, a machlok stream, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, we always paskin like, with one exception, like whom? Rabbi Yehuda. The one exception is this machlokas. We paskin like Rabbi Meir because the Gemara brings so many sources and psukim to prove that we're always considered banim lamokom, like Rabbi Meir, and we paskin like Rabbi Meir. But, says the Ben Yehoyada, when we wear tzitzis, listen carefully, the halacha requires that we wear 2 tzitzios in front, that's called lifnim, and 2 tzitzios in the back, that's called me'achora. And throughout the Agadita, all over the place, there's a fundamental difference between what comes before and what comes after. What comes before means we are running towards something. When there's a mitzvah, it's always we run towards the mitzvah. That's lifnim. But when we want to avoid a mitzvah, and sometimes we even violate an aver, that's called me'achor. We discount and we ignore the mitzvah. We don't recognize its significance, so it goes behind us. Comes along the Ben Ish Chai, and he wants to say the following. That why do we wear 2 tzitzis in front of us and 2 tzitzis in the back of us? The two tzitzios in front represent Bizman She'anu Osim Ritzonam Shel Makom. It represents those periods in Jewish history where the Jews are absolutely loyal and they observe the mitzvah Satorah. They're running towards the mitzvahs which are in front of them. However, there are periods of time where unfortunately the mitzvahs are behind us and we ignore them, but we're still wearing tzitzis. Why? Because we paskin like Rabbi Meir, banim atem l'Hashem Elokeich, we're always considered banim. The tzitzios are the gematria of Ben of 52 that represents that we are banim, even if the tzitzios chas v'shalom are behind us. because we accept Rabbi Meir's view that afil bisman she'ein osim ritzono shel malchus, we deviate from the path, we still are banim. And therefore, we don't forfeit the other two tzitzios that represent bisman she'ein Yisrael osim ritzono shel malchus. By the way, just a parenthetical comment. I noticed that a lot of people, when they get to the word tzitzis in Kriyat Shema, they gather together all their tzitzis. Did you ever see such a thing? It's wrong. You shouldn't do such a thing, because you always have to have two tzitzis in front of you and two tzitzis behind you. If you're kissing your tzitzis, it's because you want to show how much love. Yeah, no, the same. I'm not differentiating between whether you're single or you're married, whether it's the big tzitzis or the small tzitzis. But I'm just saying, it would be very paradoxical or almost antithetical to undermine the mitzvah tzitzis at the moment that you're kissing your tzitzis. So what I do is I only kiss the two tzitzis in front of it. You know, that's good enough for kissing tzitzis. You don't want to take the tzitzis behind you, which are, because if you put all your tzitzis in front of you, then you're not yotze the mitzvah tzitzis. I don't know if you're not yotze, maybe the end of you are yotze, but certainly that's not the way the mitzvah tzitzis is meant to be. In any event, he points out that the chidah, this is at the end of page 2, going on to page 3, writes that yesh tikun b'tshuvas Yisrael, why are we always considered banim? Why is Rabbi Meir absolutely correct? And the answer is, because we always have the potential to do what, Rabosai?
Tshuva.
And even though now, chas v'sholom, we're einam osim ritzun shamar, Hashem already relates to us, and here he says a beautiful part. This is, everybody knows who the chidah was? His name is Rav David Azulai. He was a Sephardic genius of geniuses. He lived about 3 centuries ago. I don't think there's a city in Israel that doesn't have a street named after the chidah. So if you ever see Azulai, that's it. And there are still, by the way, very active political members of his family that's still alive after 3 centuries, Azulai. And the chidah claims that the reason why God never gives up on Klal Yisrael is because Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. There's a fundamental difference between our relationship to God as Avinu Malkeinu, as the king, as opposed to our relationship to him as Avinu, as our father. Because the Gemara paskins in Kedushin that HaMelech Shemachal Al Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machal. There's no Mechila when it comes to a Melech. But Av Shemachal Al Kvodo, a father can be Mochal as Kovin. Right, Jeremy? You know, sometimes the kids get a little rowdy. Sometimes. I love these kids. They're amazing, amazing kids. They're so well behaved. And they're very good clients of mine. I give them candies on Shabbos. And they always very politely thank me for it. You know, so you don't have to worry about this. But Chas v'Shalom, you have a son who deviates a little bit. You can still be mochel. Under the proper conditions, there's mechila. And in the case of God says, you know what? You are my banim, I am your father. Av shemachal kvodu kvodu machal, says the chidah. That's the basis of the whole enterprise called tshuva. Tshuva is fundamentally based on this relationship between God and His people as av ubanim, as we call it here in the ELC, avot ubanim, right? Avot ubanim. But here we're talking about the ultimate av, and Klal Yisrael is the ultimate banim. And therefore, if you take a look at the top of your page 3, you'll see that according to the Chidah, the mitzvahs of Hashem, and if we want to hone in on one specific mitzvah, we can talk about tzitzis, and if we want to hone in on one particular part of the mitzvah, tzitzis, it's the two tzitzios that are behind us. These are all representative of Klal Yisrael as banim, and therefore Hashem never gives up on us. We always remain banim. We always have the potential of tshuva. So again, if you ask the question, why did God organize it that Yeshayahu Navi's death should come about through tzitzios? Why is that a punishment? And the answer is because he, Yeshayahu, was guilty of this one single sin. But nevertheless, for Yeshayahu Navi, it was a very severe sin. And he expressed himself describing Klal Yisrael as Am Tomeis Fasayim. And if we were to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then if he's calling us an Am's Tomeis Fasayim, then that's a severe Avera. And it could very well be that Yeshayahu HaNavi accepted Rabbi Yehuda. And there is a point in which, you know, the people of Israel are so guilty that they pass beyond the red line, as Rabbi Yehuda says, and we really don't have much faith in the people of Israel. Again, we passing like Rabbi Meir, and our belief in Geula and redemption of Mashiach is all based on the fact that we believe that no matter, and I can look around in the neighborhood I live in here, in this neighborhood, and see that people are, some people unfortunately are violating the Shabbos and so forth and so on. It's no fault of their own in most cases, but we believe that they'll do tshuva. And I don't know who's going to do the tshuva. I can't point to any Jew individually, but Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, and then the Geula will come, Mashiach. But Rabbi Yehuda said there's a point at which Chas V'Shalom God gives up on us, and we forfeit our status as Banim. And apparently, Yeshayahu HaNavi, at least at one moment of his life, accepted the view of Rabbi Yehuda. And he went ahead and he described the Jewish people in very negative terms, calling them absolutely corrupt, absolutely contaminated, beyond repair, so to speak. And at that point, he gave up, so to speak, the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's the 8 and the 5, multiplied by 4, represent our love in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He never gives up on us. We are banim, and there's always going to be mechila. We pass him like Rabbi Meir. And the punishment against his crime, against Yeshayahu HaNavi, is going to come about through the tzitzis. Why? Because we are seeing in Yeshayahu HaNavi a vision, so to speak, a flash of Rabbi Yehudaism, as someone who might, at some point in Jewish history, believe that we lost our status as banim, and the tzitzis come to tell us we're always banim, even if the tzitzis are only 2 in front and 2 behind us, we are still banim. So Rabbos, I don't want you to treat the tzitzis in the back in more of an inferior way than the tzitzis in the front. You might say, well, I don't like my tzitzis in the back. They represent, you know, ignoring the mitzvahs. No. Tzitzis as an entity with this 4 tzitzios represent Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, no matter how they are and what they are, because we are always banim. And the 52 represents Ben. And therefore we have to cherish. Maybe we should cherish the tzitzios behind us even more than we cherish the tzitzios in front of us. Because that's when we're waving the flag, so to speak, in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. God, we are banim. And if we veer from the path, we still remain banim. Never give up on us. And you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Rashba, paskin like Rabbi Meir, this is the exception to the rule, Rabbi Meir has absolutely convinced us with many psukim that we remain banim even chas v'shalom v'zman she'ein osim ritzonam shel makom. And therefore, we have to be very careful about the tzitzios, the 2 in front, the 2 in back, and continue to make that declaration that Hashem loves us as banim, never gives up on us, there's always rectification, always tshuva, and that's where Yeshayahu HaNavi unfortunately fell short. I see the time is late. Maybe we'll just have one more minute of your time to read the introduction, at least to the second half, and maybe we'll finish this up at a different time. And that is that it's no coincidence that it's Rabbi Meir who holds that even Bizman She'ein Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, we still retain our status as banim. That's Rabbi Meir. And that we saw on the previous page in the Gemara Kiddushin. And it's Rabbi Meir who also tells us what is the secret of tzitzis. And the secret of tzitzis is the Kisei HaKavod. That we should look at the tzitzis, says Rabbi Meir, and remind ourselves of the Yam and the Yam to Rakia and the Rakia to the Kisei HaKavod. And Rashi says, Mikoach HaTchiles Mazkir HaYoshev Al HaKisei. From the tzitzis, we should remind ourselves of He, with a capital H, who sits on the throne. And it's not a coincidence that it's the same Rabbi Meir in both cases. Rabbi Meir, who insists that we still retain our status of banim, and Rabbi Meir, who insists that we should be inspired by the tzitzis to somehow generate within ourselves an awareness of the Kisei HaKavod. The Dalit Conference of Tzitzis teach us 4 corners, 2 in front, 2 in the back, that we paskin like Rabbi Meir, we're still called banim, no matter what, we always have the potential of takona, of rectification, fixing up with tshuva. And tshuva itself, says the Gemara, reaches up to the Kisei HaKavod. Gdola Tshuva, Gemara at the end of Yoma. Shemagas ad Kisei HaKavod. And why? Because when we get up to the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem says, I am your father and you are my children. And tzitzis, which reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod, reminds us of the potential of Tshuva. Because we go up to the Kisei HaKavod and Hashem loves us, He embraces us, and He declares, yes, you are my banim, I am mochel you, you have the potential to do tshuva, and that relationship can be repaired. You are always banim, you never ever forfeit that status. That's what Rav Meir wants to tell us, that when we look at the tzitzis representing Klal Yisrael, representing the 52 of banim, of ben, we should realize and become aware of the Kisei HaKavod, which means that we're in the presence of God. In the presence of God, like the Malachi Asharis, who are on the highest level, there's no room for sin. There's only room for a close, intimate relationship between a son and his father. The wayward son who's coming back to his father. The father who has compassion on his son, embraces him, and waives all the claims that he has against him. That's the feeling, the awesome feeling that we have to have. When we look at tzitzis and we become aware of the fact that we're up there in the close proximity of the Kisei HaKavod. So if you want to make a note of it, we got up to Yumtak, which is in the middle column of page 3. But that's what time will allow. I still think that even though we didn't finish this Maimer, we got what I consider the main points in this Maimer. So everyone should have a wonderful day.
So why
thank you so much for coming.
Sort of where I'm trying to understand that.
So that's a long discussion.
Okay.
And
that's,
I'll just give you the tip of the iceberg. Okay. The controversy about Tchelis is the following.
Yeah.
There's one school of thought that says you have to have what's called a Mesorah on Tchelis. Meaning, even if I were to point to you and I'll say to you, this is Tchelis, you would still not have a Mitzvah Tchelis. That's one school of thought. Why? Because you need an unbroken tradition. There's certain things that it's not just a biological question, but you need to pass it on from. So we'll have to recreate that tradition when Mashiach comes. The other school of thought says, no, Tchelis is an entity. Yeah. And if I can prove to you that this is Tchelis, then it's Tchelis. Yeah. So there are those who have scientific proofs. What is Tchelis? The Radzina has his proof.
Yeah,
proof.
Right.
Then we have Alan Greenspan, he's a dentist from Efrat, and he has his proofs. He goes on and on.
Another scientific proof.
Do me a favor, Gershon, if you could open both doors, because I have a shear in prison now.
The blue collar has a designation of a wavelength of 614 micrometers.
Yeah, I think I heard about
you
this.
Heard that,
is right? This Alan also inside? I don't remember. We should all be zochah to be mekayim the mitzvah of Tchelis, either the first kiyum of the Maaseh Riyah, or at least the second kiyum of the awareness of the Kisei HaKavod.